From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's time to talk to Coach Gary Barnett about some football. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Stephen. What's going on there?
You know, something big's going on Sunday, and I want to ask you about it, even though it's not football, because, of course, everyone knows that you went to school at Mizzou. And I'm just curious what you think of this charity game, this exhibition game that's going to be taking place on Sunday at Sprint Center between the Mizzou basketball team and the Kansas basketball team. And first and foremost, it's all to raise money for a hurricane relief fund, and they're selling T-shirts at Rally House around town where 100% of the proceeds are going to go to a hurricane relief fund to help so many people that need it. So it's a great idea to do this for such a worthy cause. But I'm going to tell you what, Coach. I mean, you know all about the Missouri and Kansas rivalry from your days at Mizzou, but it's – look, whenever there's a big event, especially a big sporting event, I'll get calls from friends, hey, can you get tickets to this? Can you get tickets to that? It's been since the Royals were in the World Series, since I could compare this to how many people have called me, how many people want to go to this thing. It's sold out before tickets could even go on sale to the public. All the donors and people bought them up at Kansas and Missouri. And it's kind of been fun to see how excited people are just to see an exhibition basketball game. What do you think of this?
Well, I agree. I mean, this rivalry between schools is one thing, but between states is even more. And you know, it goes back to the 1850s. And I think that you know, those of us who grew up in the Midwest, we hold on to that sort of stuff. We hold on to those rivalries, and we hold on to those thoughts and all the memories that we had of the rivalry between those two schools. And it couldn't come at a better time with both schools' football programs struggling the way it is. It's, you know, it's a refreshing a change and for everybody. But I think it's a great, you know, it's a win-win for everybody as it looks to me. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of folks there in the Midwest that would sort of wish we had the old Big 8 slash maybe even Big 12, you know, leagues back. But, you know, it's a win-win as I see it, and it sounds like you guys are feeling the same way.
And look, you're there. You're color commentator for Colorado football, and you're a successful coach at Colorado for a long time. How has the move been for Colorado? We don't normally talk too much about you know, Colorado now anymore. I mean, there's still a lot of Nebraska fans here. Texas A&M's in the SEC with Mizzou, so they come up. But how's the move, in your opinion, been for Colorado?
You know, I think in the long run, it's really good, and it has been pretty good. I think that you know, there's a lot of different nuances to this thing, but since 1994, that move has been contemplated by the athletic directors and athletic department. It's been an option that's been there since the whole Big 12 was formed. And you know, the sort of what happened to the Big 12 pushed some teams out. I don't think it pushed Colorado out. I think it was just that time they felt that they should make the move. I think from a facilities and standpoint and the facilities wars that were taking place, I think Colorado looked at it and said, there's no way we're going to catch Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Nebraska. We're just never going to catch up. We're too far behind. Where if we go to the Pac-12, we're not that far behind most of those teams. There's a couple teams that have an advantage, but for the most part, they're not that far behind. I think that for Colorado, most of our alums are from the West Coast, other than the ones from Colorado. And I think it just made sense in so many different ways for them to make that move. But I think the the Coloradoans, people who are in Colorado, still like the concept of playing KU and Missouri and Texas and Oklahoma and Nebraska, especially the Nebraska rivalry. So, and they are reigniting that thing next year, home and home with Nebraskan football. So I think overall it's been good. Travel is better we've had more people travel to games because of the West Coast and the destinations. So overall, for Colorado, it's been successful, I think.
I was listening, Coach, our midday show with Saran Petro was talking about some of the struggles at Kansas, and a caller called in and said, and I thought this was an interesting point. I'm curious if you think there's any validity to it. His major point was, with conference realignment, all of a sudden, the SEC is going into Texas even more because now they've got Texas A&M. TCU, and for a while there at least, Baylor, started grabbing big-time recruits in the state of Texas because they were elevated to power conference status. And that conference realignment, because of all these different things, has made life, which was already difficult for the KU, K-States, and Nebraskas of the world, and made it even more difficult because now they can't just go down and pick through the talent in Texas the way that maybe they once did. Right now, KU, K-State, and Nebraska are having, even relative to their own programs, down years. Do you think there's any legitimacy to that? Do you think conference realignment has really hurt the schools in, and I guess you could say Missouri as well, has it hurt the teams in this region? Is there anything to that in your opinion?
Oh, I think there is. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think your caller was right on in that TCU and Baylor, you got to keep Baylor in there, even Tech. And LSU always had inroads in there. But, I think that's exactly right. When I was looking at the Kansas job a couple years ago, we were talking about it on the radio and just talking with people from the outside or from the inside, how they perceived it. And there's no logical recruiting base for KU and K-State. It's really hard to put your fingers on exactly what is the recruiting base for those schools. And both schools used to go to Texas a lot, and I think that sort of dried up for them. Not because Texas is dried up, it's just because everybody's come in and sucked, the majority of the players out of there. So I think that has real merit. I still think that it's still an issue for both schools as to what is their recruiting base. And I think it has created a big problem for them.
All right, Coach, let's get into the local schools and the games they have in front of them. For Missouri, look, the last 2 weeks, I mean, you've seen certainly progress offensively. They were competitive at Kentucky the whole game. They were competitive at Georgia for a half, but the defense still looks bad. There's no way around it. They've given up 35, 51, 40, and 53 to the last four opponents. But now the schedule lightens up a little bit. They play at home against Idaho. Then they play at UConn. Then they get back-to-back home games against Florida and Tennessee. And then they play at Vanderbilt and at Arkansas. What do we need to see in these final six games from Barry Odom? And what, more importantly, does Jim Sterk need to see in these final six games to suggest that he's got the right guy on the job?
Well, I think that last week's game was really a sort of pointed the arrow up a little bit. I really do. When you look at the numbers and that sort of stuff, defensively, there's still a struggle. But, Locke had a good game. He appears to be coming into his own. I mean, 17 TDs to 7 interceptions are really good numbers for the number of times they're throwing a football. They're giving up 42 points a game, and that's a huge problem, no question about it. And offensively, if they were in a different league, I think they're only putting up 27. I think if they were in the Big 12 with the defenses in the Big 12, I think they'd be putting up 40 points a game. I think the problem is the defenses of the SEC for Missouri right now. So, it's interesting we're talking about conference changes, But if you took Missouri's numbers and you put them in the Big 12, you know, they're probably a 500 team right now. And I think you've got to take some of that into consideration. You know, sometimes when you hit rock bottom, you can use that rock as a foundation to start building from. And I think that may have happened with Missouri. So what do they have to do? You know, they've just got to consistently have the arrow pointing up. In other words, they've got to build on last week's game against Georgia, which there were some positives. They can't go out and lay an egg against either one of these next two teams.
Right.
And while everybody around thinks that they're going to be that much better than Idaho and UConn, that isn't necessarily true. You know, those guys are recruited. They're on scholarship. They look at film, you know, all that sort of stuff. So these are better teams than anybody wants them to believe. And I think we have a tendency to start circling W's and L's in the beginning of the season and just think our teams are automatically better. But in college football, as you know, it's any sport. It's the game and who comes to play and circumstances that come up in the game and, you know, who's eligible, who's hurt for that game. So a lot of things can play into it. But I think they've just got to show progress in these next two games. And I think you're right, the schedule. If they truly are, you know, if that arrow's pointing up and they've hit rock bottom and they've started to now build on something solid, then that schedule gives them a chance. And it's going to be really a fun, I think, and everybody has to look at it that way. We need to look at it that way. It's going to be fun and interesting to see how this thing plays out. I mean, it's the fun part is watching these young people go at it in these football games, and it's fun about getting to play another game and to get everybody together for another game. So, hopefully that's the way they look at it from this point on.
Okay, you just used the phrase rock bottom a couple of times, Coach. The Kansas Jayhawks lost 45-0 at Iowa State last weekend. They're 0-3 in the conference. They haven't beaten a Division I team yet this year. They are 39-point underdogs going to TCU on Big Fox in prime time. If Kansas hasn't hit rock bottom yet, what is rock bottom for Kansas? And I mean, good gosh. David Beatty says the team's right where they need to be and that they will be turning things around. But, I mean, where do they go from here?
Well, they may have discovered a drill that breaks through rock and can even go to a deeper level.
Oh,
yeah, you know, that is such a tough situation, Nate. I agree, you know, I agree with what you're saying. And it's hard to be optimistic as you look at this. But, I want to go back and, you know, during a game, you're in the middle of a drive. You just want to make them take another snap. You know, you want to stop them one more time, and you sort of have to look at it the same way. You get to play one more game. You get to come out and you get to watch your team play, and you get to see what they're going to do, and then you know evaluate them at the end instead of in the middle. But and I understand that's really hard. I really do, but. This is a wacky, you know, these games are wacky and anything can happen. And if TCU doesn't bring great focus, then anything can happen. And I'm not necessarily trying to give anybody an optimistic approach to this game, but, they've got their work cut out for them. They're below everybody from a couple standards and, you know, talent wise and everything else. So yeah, it's going to be tough, but I think you gotta enjoy the year. I know basketball's starting, and we always like to play Kansas this time of year because everybody started thinking about basketball instead of football. And when we found that we were going to play KU at KU at the end of October, it was sort of a relief for us, and that's been customary there. But you know, they've shown some spots, some hope, but they need to show more. And nobody knows that more than David Beatty and his coaches. And so I just think let's evaluate it when it's over and try to get the most out of it they can now and try to get the arrow pointed up, even though it's going to be really hard this weekend.
All right, Coach, finally, Kansas State lost back-to-back conference games at Texas in a heartbreaker, and double overtime heartbreaker, but then they lose at home to TCU 26-6. Now they have Oklahoma coming to Manhattan. And if Kansas State loses, they'd be 3-4 overall and 1-3 in the conference, so they're up against it. This is a big game for Kansas State. What do you expect to see in Manhattan between the Sooners and the Wildcats?
Well, you know, I was a little surprised that the spread's as low as it is. It's a 12-point spread or 12.5, or at least it was when I looked at it on Wednesday yesterday. But I was a little surprised at that because K-State has not been playing very well. And, you know, they just, their offense is, you know, especially without Ertz, you know, they cannot throw the football. You know, the numbers that they had last week were just awful. You know, what, Dalton was 11 for 29, and they rushed for 70 yards. And, you know, this team coming in is sort of a Jekyll and Hyde. It can be really, really good. And then, you know, it can also just not focus. But, you know, it's feeling to me like they've got to do something here, almost something drastic, I think, to get out of this tailspin. You know, and I'm concerned for Bill Snyder, you know, because I know how hard this is for him and how he takes it personally, these losses and a season like this. And everybody's scratching and clawing, but I don't know if they have any answers of getting out of this tailspin. I don't know who it is or how it is. When you build your offense around the sort of ground game and slow the game down approach, if you can't do that and hold up on defense anymore, then you don't have any alternatives. And so this may be the way the year finishes, is these kind of games for them. You know, Oklahoma's fighting for the playoff spot. They're fighting to make that game with Oklahoma State be really important. And so you're catching them at a time when they can't afford to lose a game. They don't have to have a lot of points. You know, they don't have to have a lot of style points in this thing, but they have to win this game. So I think unless they can turn that offense around, K-State's going to struggle, and that's the way the whole year's going to look.
I think that drastic thing that I think maybe some Kansas State fans are hoping for is redshirt freshman quarterback Skylar Thompson, who is a local product, who is so good. I'm a fan. I think he's going to be terrific, and maybe that drastic change could be what they need. Coach, as always, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
You do the same thing. That is Coach Gary Barnett, who talks college football with us every week right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.